Muskie. Now, we can never find any recommendation of Muskie that appeared in some article. John Criswell has checked it. What happened, the facts of these as we know them, the Arrangements Committee is appointed by the chairman. I don't even know who's on it. The chairman normally goes to the Hill and confers with the speaker. The speaker and the majority leader are normally the two men that preside and handle platform. The keynoter is normally a senator. The others, credentials and rules, are usually made up of a governor and maybe a national committee woman. Now that's the custom under Rayburn McCormick. Rayburn was speaker, was chairman. McCormick was platform man. Frank's Church was a keynoter, and things of that kind. Back in those days, once in a while a governor like Clements was keynoter, young one. But that's the way it was. This year, Bailey, who is Kennedy's man, Margaret Price, who is Kennedy's man, I just never did disrupt it, went up to talk to McCormick. And McCormick told him that he did not feel he ought to do it, that he was too old. Television, they raised hell about it. And he thought it ought to go to the two other men in line. Bailey took him up right on the spot and said, "I'm sure that'll be agreeable to the Credentials Committee. They've authorized me to offer it to you and Albert. So, if that's the way you feel, they'd do it." He went over and talked to Mansfield, and Mansfield said he knew it would be agreeable to him. That's who he'd recommend. He recommended Pastore last time. They came back. They submitted the list to the Credentials Committee that were called into Washington. Criswell took the list to Bill Connell to go over it for Humphrey. The only man on the list that had announced for anybody was Hale Boggs. He had announced for Humphrey. Was out in the open. So the Credentials Committee approved it. They raised the question that he had already announced somebody, but they pointed out that Rayburn had been for people during the years, McCormick had been for people, that McCormick was chairman in 64 and Albert was platform. And that both of them were for me. So Humphrey approved it, Mansfield approved it, McCormick approved it. The committee had approved it, so they asked for an appointment with me and came over and told me about it and said, "Now, we have not announced it, but if you have any objections, you said you didn't want to have anything to do with it, we'd be glad to clear it." I told them, "No, it suited me fine." Now, I didn't give a damn whether Albert was or whether Muskie was. So now, nobody ever heard of Muskie that I know of. Criswell said he never heard of it. Yeah. I talked to Bailey, he never heard of it. But some of Humphrey's men tell these things.
I know they do.
And the only Humphrey man that was out and out Humphrey that I know of was Hale Boggs. Now that's the first thing. Now the second thing, it said, here's the inside story. It began when the president insisted his man Boggs, instead of Muskie, whom Humphrey wanted. Boggs is highly competent. But Humphrey warned Muskie in the spot in order to let the convention have a look at him as vice presidential possibility. Now that's not true. Before the convention started, Boggs got three phone calls from LBJ. The last one at 1:30 a.m. Saturday. Now, I haven't made a single call to Boggs. Not a one. Boggs complained that Randolph, West Virginia, officially they came back to confer on the check crisis, though actually they were given a special briefing by Westmoreland on the danger of suspending the bombings in North Vietnam. Westmoreland showed them a message from General Adams stating that bombing had ceased. Now what they did, they came back for a special briefing on the Czech crisis, on Vietnam, and on the Middle East. That is on the agenda. And the only reason that Boggs was invited, because he's one of the three leadership. The only reason that when Randolph was invited, because it involved veterans. And he's chairman of that subcommittee. And Yarbrough was invited. He's the second man on the subcommittee. Yeah. Tiger Teague was invited. Now, Yarbrough is just as much for McCarthy as any man in the country. But he was there. So it had nothing to do with Boggs at all. Boggs would have had every bit of the information he wanted if he hadn't come. So that's the second mistake. They came up, let's see, back in Chicago, private task force, picked to work, composed of Sorensen, David Ginsburg. Ginsburg's close to Johnson and served on the Kerner Commission. They came up with a plank on Vietnam which contained the president's view against any stopping of bombing which might endanger American life. But they wrapped it up in language emphasizing the importance of peace. To make sure the president approved the exact wording, Humphrey had a copy flown to him by Charles Murphy, former head of CAB, now a trusted White House advisor. Now that is not true at all. Nobody flew me anything. They tried to talk to me about it. Pearson did and others. I refused to talk to any of them about it. They had in their original draft, which Charlie Murphy saw, the statement, we stopped the bombing, period. We told them we didn't favor any language on stopping the bombing, but if they were going to say stop the bombing, say when you could do it without endangering lives. So that's the way they took it. We did not talk to Ginsburg at any time. We talked to Murphy. LBJ had his jet star on the runway in Texas ready to take off for Chicago, but advised not to come, first by Secret Service. That is not true. They never recommended not come. Second by Boggs. Boggs cautioned him that his presence would inflame passions during the Vietnam debate. The Secret Service warned his life might not be safe when Murphy delivered the text to the platform at the range. The president hit the ceiling. He jumped the compromise he worked out by Sorensen and Ginsburg. He substituted a much briefer plank which endorsed the end of bombing if lives were not endangered. But he eliminated most of the phrases regarding hope for peace. Now, we didn't eliminate anything. It was this watered-down plank which caused such bitter debate and was adopted only by the narrow margin of 1567 to 1041. That's 60-40. That's a hell of a narrow margin. In fairness to Johnson, it should be noted he had had intelligence reports that communists and hippies in Vietnam were to influence truce. This is the reason the State Department issued a warning to North Vietnamese delegates. One intelligence report received in Washington passed on to the President stated American communists were quarreling over tactics. And so forth. Anyway, but now I would gather that's Humphrey, maybe Boggs. Looks like Boggs is just trying to apologize for himself, doesn't it?
I think it was Boggs, because Boggs is close to Drew, and it's sufficiently disguised to protect him, but I would say he told him that. The fact that there were three telephone calls, that's just to build himself up.
Yeah.
I'll try to find out. Now, Drew leaves today, or Prague.
Well, you just tell him one thing. Tell him one, I never made any call to Boggs at any time.
Right.
Boggs got the call from the White House that you got and every leader got inviting him. We don't give a damn whether he came or not.
All right.
I did not pick Boggs, and I didn't give a damn whether he was a chairman of the platform committee or not. He wanted me to get him to be chairman of the convention. I told him I couldn't take any part. I'm not any closer to Boggs than I am to Albert. I'm not any closer to either than I am to Inouye. And the only one of them, though, that announced for Humphrey was Boggs, so Humphrey's got no gripe coming.
Well, I'll get a hold of Drew. It's too late to correct this mistake.
No, I don't want him corrected. I just want him to know he's been somebody to lays off, and they use him to hit me when it's just not true, and you're telling you were standing there, and you were there.
Right.
And it was a normal briefing on the three principal subjects, the Middle East, Vietnam, and the Czech crisis.
Right.
And there were Republicans there and Democrats there, and nobody raised any question. Boggs didn't open his mouth, as I don't remember.
All he did was pass a note to Humphrey. You know, I was the messenger in between them.
And that's right.
So, well, I'll tell Drew, and hopefully he'll remember it.
I love you. Bye.
All right. Take care.
Waiting.